Many Hollywood stars have changed their names. For example, here are Al Jolson and Cary Grant.
Well, if it isn't Asa Yolson. Well, if it isn't Archie Leach. Yeah. Well, thanks, Al. I'd rather you didn't mention that name, Archie Leach. I may still have some checks out.
Jack's birth name was Benjamin Kubelski. The following clips focus on his name change to Jack Benny.
By the way, Phil, I heard your program last Sunday. It was a wonderful show. Robert Taylor did a great job filling in for you.
Robert Taylor. Some guy to pick out as my replacement. Why, what's wrong with Taylor?
What's wrong with him? His real name is Spangler Arlington Brew.
The Hangler Arlington Brew.
Well,
that sounds like the last names of Manny, Moe, and Jack.
My right name is Benny Kubelski. What are you mad about?
You and him move in together.
Now, Mr. Benny, here's a rather intimate question, and you can answer it or not just as you please.
Go right ahead, Mr. Wilson.
Is Jack Benny your right name?
Yes, condemned.
I see, and what was it before you condensed it?
You mean my family name?
Yes.
If they ever put that in life, Neon would declare an extra dividend.
Listen, Mr. DeMille, if I don't bring you back a complete and original story in 24 hours, my name ain't Jack Benny.
Confidentially, Mr. DeMille, it ain't.
Oh, come on.
Say, Jack, what's next on the turntable?
Oh, the folks will just love this one.
Yes, sir, it's a new release that features a duet by that brilliant young Waukegan violinist, Benny Kubelski.
One of Jack's names was Ben K. Benny. But it sounded too much like the name of Ben, Bernie, a famous orchestra leader.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
I want to take this opportunity.
Hey, wait a minute. Look, fellas, look who's here. The old maestro, Ben Bernie.
Yowza, yowza.
Well, Ben, I'm...
You don't have to defend him, Don. After all, when you get right down to things, not everybody's name is Jack Benny.
Not even yours.
Now cut that out! You know very well, Don, my name has been Jack Benny ever since I've been in show business.
The way Jack became the husband of Mary Livingston is funny, too. They were introduced by one of the four Marx brothers. The first night they met, Jack couldn't understand a word Mary said because she didn't say anything. A few months later, Mary called to see him. This time, she talked to the extent of telling him that she liked him very much. Jack married her at once before she could change her mind.
Mary is from Vancouver, Canada. Jack met her there when she was a teenager, but they did not date.
You know, Mary, being in Vancouver brings back memories to me, too. When I was in vaudeville, I played the Orpheum Theater many a time.
Mary moved to Los Angeles and worked in a department store. In 1922, Jack and Mary became married. He was 33 years old, and she was 22 years old.
See, the first time I asked her was when she was working at the May Company.
Following is a 1929 recording from a movie. Jack appears with Cliff Edwards, an entertainer who popularized the ukulele. This is 3 years prior to Jack's radio debut, so you are hearing Jack as a vaudeville star.
The next number, ladies and gentlemen, will be a song by Cliff Edwards.
Hey, I don't want that.
You don't want an introduction?
Certainly I want an introduction, but not that kind. I want a nice introduction like Conrad Nagel gave Charlie King. Used all those big words and said all those nice things about him. Say, I got a voice that's like a breeze and it's full of zithers. You tell them how I thrill them. Go on, tell them.
Oh. Well, all right, listen to this.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next number is really the high spot of our review. A name to conjure with. A name that is a beacon light in the world of amusement.
I am here tonight on behalf of the readers of Radio Stars magazine to thank Jack Benny for a decision he made 2 years ago. At that time, if you remember, although comedy was comparatively new to the air, many of the stage's funny men had already been lured to the microphones. Jack Benny in those days was reluctant to go on the air. If he failed to please, he stood to lose much of that prestige he had built for himself by years of painstaking performances before visible audiences. It was one of those perplexing crossroads to which many of us come. Jack Benny took the one marked radio, and that is the decision for which I want to thank him tonight.
Then vaudeville began to be killed off by a new medium, radio. I wanted to go into radio.
But I cannot avoid telling you what Jack Benny has meant to radio. The night Jack Benny first went on the air, he gave radio and the American people something more precious than mere entertainment. Jack Benny gave us laughter at a time when we needed it most. The night of his radio debut, there came to life a new comedy formula. A formula that we in radio call the Jack Benny formula. Never laugh at the other fella, laugh at yourself. That formula brought a refreshing era of national humorous and of laughter.
Hey, boss, what kind of work do you do?
I'm on the radio and I broadcast all over America.
Yeah, I know, Jack, but you're more of a radio personality, while Claudette and I are associated with motion pictures.
Occupation, radio comedian.
Who's the star of this show?
My mother thinks I am.
Jack, can I read one now?
Go ahead, Mary.
Wanted, good master of ceremony for Chevrolet program.
Graham.
I think that Mr. Benny is a great entertainer.
The radio industry is paying tribute to one of its great artists, Jack Benny.
He's a picture star.
I wouldn't know. I'm a radio man myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here on behalf of the Columbia Broadcasting System to offer our congratulations to Jack Benny for having won the greatest honor that has ever been bestowed on a radio artist. Radio Daily conducted a poll among all of the radio editors and columnists in the United States and Canada. And Jack Benny was selected as the greatest radio personality in the past 25 years.
He and his... Gee, I'm only 39.
Well, seriously, Jack, CBS wants to add their congratulations to the many you've no doubt already received.
Well, thank you, Mr. Meegan, and I'm very grateful and very proud of this honor. I want to thank Radio Daily, who conducted the poll, and the radio editors and columnists of the United States and Canada. I'd like everyone to know that this tribute is equally shared with my cast, my writers, in fact, every member of my staff. And I also want to thank you listeners who have been so loyal through the years. Thanks very much.
Jack and Mary lived on the road. Then in the late 1920s, they lived in New York City. In 1936, they moved to California. This clip is from 1952.
Well, Don, it wasn't easy. You see, even though I've lived in California for the past 15 years, I was born in Waukegan.
Jack was a major celebrity.
By the way, Bill, aren't the tickets for the radio theater complimentary?
Of course.
Well, this fellow had a whole handful, and he was trying to charge people $1 apiece.
Oh, that's strange.
Wait a minute. Here he comes now.
Oh.
Why, it's Jack Benny.
Hello, everybody.
He is a star of stage, screen, and radio, and a well-known comedian.
A very well-known comedian.
He's been in radio since 1932 and was born in Waukegan, Illinois, 55 years ago.
39 years ago.
39 years ago. He's not only a comedian and a very fine actor, but he is an accomplished...
Violinist.
Tucker up, Mary. I'm going to give you a great big kiss.
Oh, Jack, not in front of your friend.
My friend?
Yes, that man standing right behind you. He came off the plane with you.
Oh, these people who follow celebrities.
She told me she read in the paper about your visit with President Eisenhower.
That's right, Mary. I did visit the president.
Did he show you around the White House?
Yes, Mary. He was very nice to me. And, Mary, remember when you saw the White House on television, that big room where the piano was?
Uh-huh.
There's a putting green there now.
Anyway, you were supposed to pick me up 10 minutes ago, so you're the one that's late.
Well, I would have been here sooner, but first I gave a girl an autograph, and when I got to the corner here, I gave an autograph to a little boy.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Jack, why don't you stop chasing them?
I didn't chase them. They asked me.
Pardon me for disturbing you, Mr. Benny, but may I have your autograph?
Certainly, certainly. Who shall I make it out to?
Excuse me for interrupting, but I happen to have a snapshot of you, Mr. Benny. Would you mind autographing it?
Oh, I'd be happy. Say, Jimmy, would you mind lending me your fountain pen?
Not at all. Here you are, Jack.
Thanks. Now, let's see. With my very best wishes, Jack Benny. Here you are, lady.
Thank you very much. It was nice meeting you.
Well, give me your autograph book and I'll sign it. Thanks. What's your name?
Harry. Just sign it to Harry.
Okay. To Harry. With very best wishes, Jack Benny. There you are.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Benny.
Jack was broadcast through the Armed Forces Radio Service, and that made him popular around the world.
The AFRS story, the shortwave operations with broadcasts beamed to virtually all points on the surface of the Earth. In addition to our servicemen and women, these programs are heard by an estimated 90 million persons of all nationalities.
How much money did Jack make?
Mr. Benny, I have here a copy of your 1950 income tax return.
Well, I went over it carefully before I mailed it in. I'm sure I declared everything, you know.
Well, Mr. Benny, according to your return, last year your total income was $375,000.
That's right. That's right. During 1950, I earned $375,000.
Then this figure denoting the money you spent last year on entertainment must be a mistake.
No, no, no. It's right.
$17?
Mr. Benny, just to be doubly sure, would you mind giving us a breakdown on how you earned $375,000 last year?
Well, let's see. I made $200,000 in radio, $40,000 in television, and $35,000 in personal appearances.
But that only amounts to $275,000. How did you make the other $100,000? Mr. Benny... How did you make that other $100,000?
Laundry.
Well, as Mr. Benny explained to me, he's a great artist on the radio and gets $12,000 for his broadcast.
Uh-huh.
What's your height?
5'11".
Weight?
165.
Hair?
My hair?
3250!
She doesn't mean that. She means the color. Miss, my hair is a sort of a palomino gray.
I see.
Well, here I am, fellas. How do I look?
Marvin!
Now, what's the matter?
Boss, when you get off your clothes, there just ain't nothing left.
In appearance, I would say that he is about 5'10". Weighs 160 pounds, has square shoulders, is slightly gray, and has blue eyes.
A robin egg blue.
Robin egg blue.
Color of eyes? Oh, they're blue, aren't they?
Bluer than the thumb of an Eskimo hitchhiker.
Mary, you read the telegram to me. I don't want my fans to see me with glasses on. Sort of destroys an illusion, you know.
Okay.
What else? Oh, yes, his glasses. He always puts them on when he comes back to the dressing room. I wish he'd forget his pride and wear them on the stage. Yesterday, he did 2 shows with his back to the audience.
Deborah, how did rehearsal go yesterday?
Oh, fine, Mary. Jack is wonderful to work with. But we have one love scene where we're supposed to kiss, and I asked him to cut it.
Why?
Well, with his glasses, when you get that close to him, you feel like you're window shopping.
It's a shame the way you're treating Mr. Wilson.
Oh, you do, you little trainer. You little traitor. Those are my bifocals.
By the way, Judge, here are the scores up to this point, and you can carry on from there and keep tabs on the scores. All right. Now, let's see.
Pardon me, I put on my glasses. I'm at that trombone age, you know, where you get that thing.
Well, that's all right.
Well, I'm all dressed, Rochester. How do I look?
Fine, but you better put your glasses on.
Oh, I'm not going to wear my glasses. They make me look old.
Jack visits the optometrist.
Now, looking at the same chart, I want you to... Say, you're right. That is ALXRP.
That's funny. Now it looks like 1, 3, 7... 7, 6, 9 to me.
Your quote wrong. It says no smoking.
Here are Jack's clothes from head to toe.
Oh, pardon me, boys. I left my hat in here.
Oh, yes, sir.
Jack will be along in a minute.
I thought he was coming with you.
Oh, he was, but he had to go back to his dressing room. He forgot his hat.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. It's spring. What does he need his hat for?
All I have to do is snap on this bow tie, and I'll be on my way. Darn it. There it goes again. Rochester, where's my bow tie?
It went out the window and headed for Capistrano.
Gee, that's a beautiful invitation, isn't it?
Here you are, folks. Academy Theater.
Come on, Mary. How much is that, driver?
$1.60.
But, Jack, you're going to be gone a whole week. Aren't you taking any suits?
Certainly. I'm taking my blue serge, my tweed, my herringbone, and,
Your pinstripe and your gabardine.
Yes.
That's 5 suits.
Men's socks were not elastic. Men held up their socks with bands called garters.
Connors, I'll give you just 10 to let go of my garter. 1, 2, 3. Ooh, my leg. Darn it, he ruined a perfectly good pair of garters.
Go on, you've had new elastic put in them 12 times.
Well, the metal isn't the least bit rusty.
In the 1930s, Jack smoked cigars.
Cigars, cigarettes, and novelties. Cigarettes?
Oh, girlie, give me a cigar, will you please?
Yes, sir. What kind?
A couple of those Santa Fe Biltmores. This one's a quarter, and that one's 10 cents, eh?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know. I like the looks of that quarter one, and yet...
You know which cigar you're going to take, Jack Benny.
What?
You're going to take the 10-cent one. You always take the 10-cent one.
Yes, but the quarter cigar is milder, and it's much better for my throat.
A lot you care about your throat. Come on, take the 10-cent one and let's get going.
No. No, I won't take it. I want the quarter one, do you hear? I want that quarter cigar.
I know you want the quarter cigar. But remember, Jack Benny, if you buy the one for a dime, you save 15 cents.
15 cents, 15 cents, 15 cents, and that ain't hay. 15 cents, and that ain't hay. 15 cents.
Stop it! I don't care about the money. I don't care what I say. I want the mild one. Hey, mister, give me that quarter cigar.
Yes, sir.
Cigar?
Well,
all clear Havana.
Oh, I can see that. I can always tell a good cigar just by looking at it. I know cigars.
In the 1940s, Jack switched to cigarettes, perhaps because his new sponsor was a cigarette maker.
Can I get you something, Jack? A cigarette?
No, thanks. I just finished one.